are resulting in this potentially more emotionally aware model. And for me, and I think for any of the other AI marketing navigators out there, one of the main takeaways should be from this episode and from the release of 4.5, that for all of those use cases that we talk about so much here on the AI Marketing Navigator, for the customer support, for the sales, I think I very much like the sounds of an emotionally intelligent model powering my agents on my teams. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. I'm going to try and keep it quiet tonight, guys. We have a teething baby AI Marketing Navigator who is having some trouble sleeping the last few nights. And suffice it to say, our publishing schedule has been somewhat altered. Anyway, we are a couple of days delayed on this news as well, but it has been a jam-packed week of amazing AI news and tools, and that's going to continue tonight as we get to talk about another new AI model, in this case, ChatGPT 4.5. So this was officially rolled out and released back on February 27th, and it was initially released to pro users of the ChatGPT platform, which should indicate to you just how expensive that it is to operate, and we will cover that. But the latest timeline as far as a wider rollout to plus users comes from just about 4 or 5 hours ago as of recording this episode. Sam Altman posted on X, and let's go ahead and take a look at this post right now. It says, "We are likely going to roll out GPT 4.5 to the plus tier over the next few days. There is no perfect way to do this. We wanted to do it for everyone tomorrow, but it would have meant we had to launch with a very low rate limit. And we think people are going to use this a lot and love it." We will get into why I think he believes that as far as the rate limit goes, why he also thinks people are really going to love it, especially when we talk about the pivot and the focus on emotional intelligence, which is the main talking point of our episode tonight for this model. The focus that the model takes on emotional intelligence over that raw processing power, that computation performance and inference power, and particularly benchmark scores, which we'll talk a little bit about as well. Now, also, this was originally the codenamed Orion model, which we talked about on this show when it first made waves in the AI headlines. So that is 4.5. If you are a pro subscriber, then you have most likely had a chance to use 4.5. But if not, for the other plus subscribers out there who are anxiously awaiting access like I am, although full transparency, we are backlogging some episodes over the next few days, so I likely won't be able to test it until later next week. Anyway, for those of us who don't have access yet, apparently we can expect things like more nuanced improvements and optimizations, things like conversational fluency, reduced hallucination rates also, but also reduced hallucination style responses, but enhanced social awareness and more awareness of social cues. And to echo a lot of the quotes on social media, especially Sam Altman again himself, let's go back to his profile right now, actually, and we can just read the tweets from the man himself. Anyway, right here, we're looking at the initial announcement post about 4.5. It says GPT 4.5 is ready. Good news. It's the first model that feels like talking to a thoughtful person to me. Sam Altman might be a little biased, but again, if anybody knows what the goal or the hope was for the model, then of course, I think it would be him. He goes on to say, "I have had several moments where I've sat back in my chair and been astonished at getting actually good advice from an AI. Bad news is, it is a giant, expensive model." And this is where we get into the pricing point. We really wanted to launch it to Plus and Pro at the same time, but we've been growing a lot and are out of GPUs. We will add tens of thousands of GPUs next week and roll it out to the Plus tier then. Again, this was back on February 27th. So we should be getting access in the next couple of days, apparently. He also says here that they have hundreds of thousands coming soon, I believe the GPUs. And I'm pretty sure y'all will use every one we can rack up. And he's no doubt right about that. This isn't how we want to operate. Again, they've been criticized for access, democratization, open source, and they've had goals of going more back into that direction. So this isn't how we want to operate, but it's hard to perfectly predict growth surges that lead to these GPU shortages. Heads up, this isn't a reasoning model and it won't crush benchmarks. So even back on February 27th, Sam was preparing us. It's a different kind of intelligence and there's a magic to it I haven't felt before. Really excited for people to try it. And you might be catching the AI Marketing Navigator baby's excitement about the model too in the background. And another one of Sam Altman's tweets is GPT 4.5 is the first time people have been emailing me with such passion asking us to promise to never stop offering a specific model or even replace it with an update. Great work. And then he calls out his team at OpenAI. Anyway, again, take it with a grain of salt, but apparently there is some pretty passionate response from users of GPT 4.5. So, as was also mentioned by Sam in those posts, and the other huge talking point about this new model, in addition to that new emotional intelligence, was the cost, the distinctly prohibitive cost in pricing, which I'm guessing in the case of like the upcoming rollout to Plus subscribers, it's likely going to take the form of a rate limit, also mentioned by Sam Altman, although encouragingly, he said that if they rolled it out earlier, it would have been a very low rate limit. So maybe the fact that they're delaying that and the fact that we're getting it here soon. So hopefully that means the rate limit won't be that low when the rollout to Plus users eventually happens. But for enterprise users, for sure, and just pure dollar amounts, this is an incredibly, incredibly expensive model. And it's definitely going to limit overall usage rates and accessibility and use cases, especially for any marketing professionals or any of you AI marketing navigators out there who are experimenting with utilizing these APIs or agents, which themselves are maybe utilizing these APIs if you're using an agent building platform, which we've talked about a few on the show. Anyway, in those cases, we're likely still going to find much more reasonable cost and technically more powerful models as far as benchmarks go, although we'll get into the reasons why I think we'll want to end up using a model more like 4.5 in the future. Anyway, the API costs for 4.5 are up to $75 per million input tokens and 150 per million output tokens, which is a 30 to about 34 times increase over GPT 4.0. And again, this is for a model that technically on the benchmarks, and whether or not we take those super seriously, we'll get into in a minute, but technically on the benchmarks does have shortcomings compared to its predecessors in reasoning capabilities, mathematics, and coding, things like that. Specifically things like that. But again, this is a pivot from OpenAI to focus less on things like that and to try and create a more human experience with their model to make it more accessible to the general user, less formal, less business-like maybe more understanding and more intuitive. And if you caught our episode on Sesame and this crazy rapid development in human and computer interaction that we are experiencing right now and living through right now, actually interesting tidbit, if you did catch our episode on Sesame, we talked a lot about how we're seeing this shift in how humans view their relationships with computers and technology, in particular, the shift in companionship perceptions and views with these AI systems. And to that point, apparently, according to some early testing with 4.5 here, in HR use cases, some users have been preferring ChatGPT 4.5 over their human HR counselors. Only 12%, not a majority by any means, but I think that's only going to grow with time as these models get better and as they get more anthropomorphized through incredible voice technology like Sesame. Anyway, tangent there for sure, and there are probably going to be a couple tangents in this episode that are going to get triggered, so apologies in advance for that. But again, if you watched our episode on Sesame, then you know that this is very much becoming a parallel goal. This emotional and intuitive nature of these models is becoming a parallel goal, if not a primary goal, over this more technical business coding mathematics use case. And when you think about it, it starts to make sense. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, the marketplace for the businesses and the enterprises and the data and coding and the need for the API tools and the enterprise pricing. But the major adoption is just in that daily, everyday consumer and everyday user of the product. I really think that as far as like a marketing context or an agent context, isn't it the emotional intelligence that we want to optimize for anyway? I mean, yes, if you are using these agents strictly for automation in some of the very early days, use cases, of course, have been coding, which is a huge one. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's the leading use case as far as industries go. If I recall, we did an episode where we talked about marketplace adoption rates in different industries. I'm pretty sure coding was far and away the leader. Yes, in those cases, yes, these benchmarks are great and everything, and likely worth tracking and looking at. Although another thing that can be discussed and debated is whether or not some of these models have trained distinctly on the benchmarks. And actually, here's another one of those tangents that I mentioned, but shout out to Marketing Against the Grain, the Marketing Against the Grain podcast. I believe it was in one of their recent episodes, they mentioned having found a different benchmarking method, which was shared by somebody, and I can't remember if it was a user on X or an AI or marketing professional that they were talking about on the show. I have to go back and listen over the next couple of days here. But essentially, the idea was to come up with a very different set of benchmarks, a customized personal set of benchmarks that are not optimized for math and science and all of these very difficult reasoning questions, but instead are optimized for things like adaptability and flexibility and the types of thinking where you have to kind of think on your feet and you have to be able to adjust to unique questions and situations that you haven't specifically been trained on, like is the case with these models for these benchmarks. And so again, I'll do my best to try and dig out that episode from Marketing Against the Grain where they talked about this, or even better, try and find that original source that they mentioned in the next couple of days here if I can. But I have a feeling that a model like this, a model that is trained, 4.5 that is trained or optimized for things like emotional intelligence, is going to score a bit better on a benchmark designed to test adaptability and nuanced behavior that you're going to get out of a model. Anyway, before we wrap up tonight's episode, let's take just a little bit of a dive into why this model is different and how it actually accomplishes this more emotionally intelligent behavior. Apparently, it's a difference in the learning framework that was used in this model, which used a combination of supervised and unsupervised learning. So a combination of human oversight training with AI-generated data training. So there's still some of that RLHF, that reinforcement learning from human feedback, or that human feedback, if I understand correctly. But in addition to that, you have AI systems running and simulating a bunch of these interactions with these models and training on basically every possible scenario and incarnation of these interactions are resulting in this potentially more emotionally aware model. And for me, and I think for any of the other AI marketing navigators out there, one of the main takeaways should be from this episode and from the release of 4.5, that for all of those use cases that we talk about so much here on the AI Marketing Navigator, for the customer support, for the sales, I think I very much like the sounds of an emotionally intelligent model powering my agents on my teams in a lot of those cases over a model that can code or knows how to score well on benchmarks. So the ability to detect social cues and the implied meanings and reading between the lines, so to speak, falling back on all of these different simulations, these human supervised and AI generated simulations, that is particularly interesting and I think promising and optimistic for all of our marketing business use cases. Okay, that does it for tonight's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and is by far the most helpful thing you can do for the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on all notifications so you get notified each day when our episode drops. Until then, and as always, thank you so much for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.